on the 16th. Three or four of us will go over there and see if we can collect some more funds for our project that's coming up. And we have had an application for airport manager from Katie Coleman Assad. She, I believe, is interviewed with Hugh Brandon. Is that
correct? Yeah.
I spent 3 or 4 hours with her. She's looking to complete from Emberley Hill a master's of aeronautics. Is that right? And she already has a couple of degrees. She is a pilot in single engine land, multi engine land, an instructor in single engine land, an instructor in multi engine land, an instructor in instrument rating. So the qualifications are stellar. She has already donated some considerable amount of time to look around at the airport, and we have not had a board meeting, but as an individual, I would recommend this confirmation to this position. But any questions on any of the other things you have?
Questions from council?
Thank you.
Thank you, Craig. Thank you. All right, the building department report has been included in your packet. Are there any questions I can attempt to answer there?
The only question I have, because it was brought up to me by Rob, the owner of Lonesome Dove, he was having some issues getting up with our building inspector to have him come review plans for a expansion project that he has going on. And I was wondering if our building inspector's been over there to speak to him yet.
I can't speak to that. I'm not privy to the day-to-day interactions, but I can check with both Tim and Josh and find that out.
Okay.
All right, Finance Department report, Mr. Underwood.
Okay, you have two sheets in front of you, not in the packet.
They were supplement?
Supplement, yeah. Okay, the first one is just the budget to actual report. That's basically what we spent a year based on the budget that we passed on the 12th. And you can see the amount spent or the percent spent per fund on the far right. It just gives you an idea of where we're at. We do have fund 5620 airport project. We'll be coming back to you for probably a budget amendment because of the amount of money we're going to get for the funds for the project. Once we come back on the 16th, we'll have the exact amount that we'll be needing and spending. So we'll be coming back to you on that so we can make that appropriate budget. Next page, last page, is basically the budget that it was passed. And the remaining cash in the accounts at the end of the year. So when we talk about the tobacco later on, you'll see where those funds would be coming from. Any questions?
Robert, can you give us an update on where we are with the review with Jennifer Cody?
Yes, I talked to her yesterday. She's going through our accounting system now. I had to send her a couple more reports, detailed reports. She did get a little busy during the Christmas break. She was expecting to have it done, but some stuff came up personally, so she didn't get to them. And so I'm hoping she should be done here next week or two at the latest, and then we should get her feedback in a formal write-up.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Underwood from Council? All right, the fire department report tonight isn't available. Chief Motley sends his apologies. He's on his way to a ski patrol training this evening, so he's not able to bring a report to us. His annual report will be included at the first meeting in February when regular department reports come forward. So with that, we'll go along to the police department report with Chief Marble. Chief.
So, right out of the gate, we'll just come up with the statistics and then talk about the other portion of it. For December 2019, calls for service were 59. We rounded out the year with 787 calls for service. And as far as our general report goes, unfortunately, Officer Teniente has decided to take a job with another law enforcement agency. Definitely will be missed. It was an excellent addition to our force, but it is what it is. Officer Ellington was hired to fill the SRO position and is going through field training currently, doing a great job at the school, and definitely an asset to us. We're working on filling the night officer position, and we're optimistic. We're not getting a lot of responses, so we're trying to look at the best way to approach that. We realize it's expensive to advertise. So we're probably going to have to address that when we start talking about, you know, budget negotiations in the coming fiscal year, and how we're going to keep up on that. But we're thinking about some creative things, maybe doing some advertising through Police One, which is a pretty common website for, especially for seasoned officers to go to. And they have a variety of services that they offer, so we're exploring that as an option. But we do have a few people that we're looking at right now, so we're still kind of moving forward on that. Not as quickly as I'd like, but we are. The two vehicles that we did put out for surplus have been advertised statewide. Not getting a lot of response. Hoping to get more small agencies that might be interested. But right now it's kind of looking like we may just need to strip the vehicles down and put them out to public auction. We're going to still try. But I feel like we'll get more money from the vehicles if we can dispose of them to another agency. So. Any questions?
Questions for the chief? Ms. Holcomb.
Sorry.
It's okay. With what I read in the paper of the graffiti, what's going on with, or is anything happening with that, or?
Specifically, what are you asking?
I mean, have we found the people that have done it? I mean, are we going it? I don't know. I just read part of the article, and I was surprised when I found out that it was here.
The problems with graffiti is, I mean, it's, you almost need a witness to be able to figure out who's doing it. I mean, on occasion, we can get some intel from local shops that are selling the paint that they use or whatever that they end up using. And that has helped us in the past. And I think more than anything, it's just an awareness. And, you know, us getting in contact with the hardware stores and so forth to say, hey, if you got a lot of these products going on, maybe take a look at who's purchasing them. Make a mental note, might do us some good later on.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Questions from council? Thank you, Chief.
Thank you.
All right. Public Works, Mr. Thomas.
So this last month we produced 14 million gallons of water. Before it was 15. We've done our monthly sampling, quarter reports, and all that to the state for the year. We did have a water leak on St. Mary's Drive. When we got there, we figured the leak was right at the curb bow, which was. So we get it all dug up. Well, there's more water coming from somewhere else. We went all the way across the street, and there was a hole. Well, 3/4 of the pipe was gone, and we estimated 30,000 gallons a day. And that ground there is so rocky that it never surfaced. I didn't hit water when I was digging at first at the curb out until we were about 4 feet. So yeah. The discovery was a plumber that was in the house, and he could hear the noise of the water running. And there was no water running in the house, so that's how we knew about the leak. Otherwise, it might have went discovered for quite a while. So we ended up going all the way across the street. It was copper pipe, so now it's all plastic pipe, new all the way under the house. We only went to the curb box the year before. She had replaced it from the curb box to the under the house because she had a leak on her side. So that's good. Riverside, we had another leak there. That was a small one. It was actually a fitting that had wore a hole in it. And at the same time, we replaced that line all the way across the street because in the past they had put in an inch and a half line and it was going to serve two houses. Well, it only served the one house. When they built the house next to it, they put in a complete service. They didn't know that was there. So we put in a whole new line from our main to the curb level by just shoving it through the pipe. We didn't have to dig the street on that one. And so that was a good, easy fix. Those both need to be patched, but we can't do any patching until spring. We have filled it with millings, and the millings are holding up almost like it was paved right at this time. We've been working on more water meters, replacements, and repairs. We've had a couple freeze. We've fixed those. The wastewater plant, we produced, treated 4 million gallons. The month before, it was 5 million. The reports to EPA and the state have both been done. We still have to do our sludge report for the year. We had one sewer plug over by the Catholic Church, and we jetted that line, cleared it. It was tree roots into the line. Did a little sanding of the streets with the snow. So far, we've been pretty lucky not running snow for plowing. And you've all been told about our backhoe, what's going out, so we're looking at getting a new one. And I did shop around it with several different dealers, and we got different bids, and the one you have is the best. And we had one grave at the cemetery. We've had two this week, so. Any questions?
Questions for George from council. Mr. Michelson.
George, do you have an idea? Are we still leaking over 14 million or whatever a month?
We're still leaking, but not that much a month. So it's a lot less.
Well, just a lot less.
Yeah, a lot less.
But still leaking.
Yeah. Okay. And we do have money in the budget for some more leak protection, which I got to get a hold of the person to come do our leak protection for. Okay.
Yeah. Laura has the ability to run some figures out of the utility billing system, and we can get some numbers to council what the leakage looks like today now that we have these fixed. All right, that concludes administrative reports. Any guests to recognize tonight? And there's no correspondence to the council, so we'll open the floor for public comments. Opportunity to comment on anything under the town of Stevensville's jurisdiction. Please step to the podium, state your name and address for the record, and sign the sign-in sheet provided at the podium as well. Any public comment? Okay. Unfinished business item A, discussion decision, climate action advisory board. This was carried forward from our December 12, 2019 council meeting. Mr. Vick.
Well, the only change that I really wanted to make after hearing from members of the community and whatnot is really taking out the having a board member from outside of the town of Stevensville. After hearing from members of the community outside of council meetings and whatnot, it seems to be that might be the better direction to go. Other than that, there was really not any changes as far as taking care of minutes and whatnot. A board member can handle that, and then they're put into what's it called, the Municode system, something like that, by the town clerk and whatnot. That's really the only thing that I have. All board members are approved by the council, things like that.
Okay. Does council have any further thoughts on climate action plan advisory board? From this juncture, if the council is interested in moving forward with it establishing this board, then we need that direction to either draft this in form of a resolution or ordinance. It more or less depends on if you're going to establish this as a more permanent board or a fixture of advisory boards to the town, or if this is more of a ad hoc style where maybe it's more temporary and they're there to develop a plan or something like that and bring that forward. We need to know that in order to draft the documentation that ratifies creating the board so that you can proceed in whatever direction you choose.
Okay.
you so choose.
I'll make a motion to pass it as a for right now as an ad hoc for 1 year, see how it goes. If it works like it, like I hope it would and whatnot, then we can seek it to be more permanent.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb, to establish the Climate Action Plan Advisory Board as a one-year ad hoc board. Correct?
Correct.
All right. So from this juncture, what we'll do is we'll draft a resolution adopting such and ratifying that and bring that forward at the next council meeting so that it's formally adopted and you can move forward with appointments. Fair enough? Mm-hmm. Any further council discussion on the matter? Public comment. You didn't all come for the Climate Action Board. Okay. Thought that's why you were here. Hearing no public comment or further council discussion, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin.
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
All right. Bring this back at the next meeting with a resolution. Move on to new business item A, discussion decision to nominate and elect council member to serve as council president in accordance with council rules, part 12. Your council communication outlines the process to nominate and elect council president of the council. So far, as of today, we've received two emails to Monica requesting interest or expressing interest in the position, and that is Councilmember Michelson and Councilmember Vick, who have both expressed that desire to serve. So, Council's free to discuss and nominate. Your Council communication gives you sample motions at the bottom should you need that assistance.
I'm going to rescind my application for them as far as that goes due to time constraints that I have.
Okay. Ms. Holcomb.
Then I move to nominate Councilmember Michelson to serve as the council's council president.
Okay.
I'll second.
Been moved and seconded to nominate Councilperson Michelson to serve as council's council president. I assume you haven't changed your mind?
No.
Okay.
I'm just wondering if I had more pay involved in that.
No. Although you... Effective January 1st, we bumped council's pay. Okay, with that, I'd entertain a motion to elect council president. Councilmember Holcomb.
I move to elect Councilmember Michelson to serve as the council's council president.
Is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Vick, to elect Councilmember Michelson to serve as council's council president. Council discussion? Ms. Devlin.
So, not to bring up past, but in the past there has been conflict between Mr. Michelson and administration. So I am just curious what has taken place to maybe policies, procedures, some resolution that we're not going to have the tension there.
Michelson?
It's a new year. I took 6 months off. If Mayor Dewey's open to discussion, like he says in his, he has an open office, I'm willing to come in, because there's a lot of things we need to get done. Mm-hmm.
Does it satisfy your question, or do you want...
No, your willingness is great, and I'm appreciative that you're willing to step up to the plate and that you want to do that. Thank you for that. It's a big job. I just have concerns. I know that in the past you two have had meetings that haven't gone well, just the two of you. So what are we going to do to ensure that we can move forward positively together? I know you took 6 months off, and it's not just on your plate. I'm not directing it just at you. But something has to change, right, so we don't end up in the same place that we came from.
I agree.
And that's what I'm asking, is what's changed? I know 6 months, but...
I'll stick to my job as much as I can, running by the rules that I see here fit. I will not step across the line to tell him how to do his job, and he knows that. I pretty much stick to what I can here, Jamie, and I don't plan on hanging out in the office a lot. And if there is a time frame where I have to set up, he has to set up appointments for me, I can work with that. And then we can go from there. I mean, it's going to be baby steps for a while. Because Brandon and I do have a history. I'm not going to deny that.
Right. And that's my concern.
Yeah.
I think that's a valid concern.
To speak to the question of policy and procedure, we have adopted a code of conduct, which we've not necessarily become, very rigid on, but it does lay in place, and amongst the staff anyway, we found success in utilizing that document to remind ourselves of our conduct and how we interact with each other, and I think that certainly those reminders could be employed in our interactions together as well.
Okay. Thank you.
Any other discussion from council? Public comment.
I'll wait until they finish. My name is Joe Moore, 514 Central Avenue. Actually, we'd like to talk to the attorney after the end of the meeting, something like that. Brandon, a reference you made, unless I'm mistaken, the code of conduct which we brought forward was first on March 14th, 19, and then it passed 3-0 with Michelson abstaining, and then in April 25th, it failed. It failed. They brought it back up again, and it failed in a council meeting. So, do we still have it on the books?
At some meeting, the code of conduct did pass and was approved.
Okay. I'm not against Bob for any particular reasons, except I think the history was the key that brought up to me. Councilman Michelson doesn't have just a history with the mayor. Councilman Michelson has a history with a number of community members as well. And I'm not for that. I'm not for that presence. We have past history that's not yet resolved. And I don't think I want to go through another year of thinking about it.
Okay, further public comment. Ms. Mickens.
Well, I was going to sit nice and quiet. I'm Carolyn Mickens, 211 Buck Avenue. But Mr. Michelson has done a lot of research when he was on the board before. He won the election, so if the townspeople didn't feel that he was doing the necessary job, they wouldn't have voted him into the seat. So I think we need to give him a chance at being the president rather than making remarks. Thank you.
Further public comment? Any further council discussion? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick.
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb.
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin.
No.
Councilmember Michelson.
Aye.
Okay, motion passes 3-1. Next item is discussion decision, council's consent to the mayor's appointment of Katie Coleman Assad as airport manager. Ms. Coleman Assad is here tonight. Do you care to say anything to the council before we delve into it? I'm not sure if you came prepared for anything, so I don't want to put you on the spot, although I already have.
No, I did not come prepared.
That's okay.
If anybody has any questions.
Very good. Thank you for bringing, I assume, Bright family with you tonight.
My husband, my son, and my mom.
Wonderful. Welcome to Stevensville. Ms. Coleman Assad submitted an application to be our volunteer airport manager. And has, as Mr. Thomas indicated, has had conversations with him. Ms. Hoffman and I held an interview rather informally just to kind of get a sense of her personality and her qualifications. She certainly brings a wealth of knowledge to the position, and the administration is excited to bring her on board. Therefore, we put forward the appointment in with your consent.
I'll make a motion to confirm Ms. Coleman Assad to the airport manager position.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb to confirm Ms. Coleman Assad to the airport manager's position. Council discussion. Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin?
Yes.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks for being here tonight. Next item of business is new business item C, discussion decision to appoint a council member to serve on the Planning and Zoning Board in accordance with Stevensville Municipal Code Section 2-313. Council communication outlines municipal code requirements that a member of council be appointed to the Planning and Zoning Board from its membership. Councilmember Michelson.
I make a motion to appoint myself on the Planning and Zoning Board. With 3.5 years experience, I'd be glad to go back on that.
Okay, is there a second?
I'll second that.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson, seconded by Mr. Vick, to appoint Councilmember Michelson to serve on the Town of Stevensville's Planning and Zoning Board. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
On the upcoming year, Brandon, I know it's a crystal ball thing, but do you have any conceptions of the Planning and Zoning Board to meet?
Oh, yes. We have a subdivision application coming.
Okay.
And the board and commissions will be each will be addressed in my executive report as well.
Okay. Are,
yep.
Are the same board members on or did it change?
I don't recall any changes since you've been on that board.
Okay.
In fact, to be perfectly honest with you, I'm not sure they've met since you've been on that board.
They haven't.
No. We'll address that in my executive report. With that, is there any further council discussion on appointing Mr. Michelson to the board, the Planning and Zoning Board, that is? Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes unanimously. Next item is discussion decision regarding the mayor's appointment of a council member to serve on the park board. As the council communication indicates, the park board's not established by ordinance, it's established by resolution. Dated 1975, and it refers that the appointments to that board are made by the mayor. However, like we've done in the past, I just defer that appointment to council to make. You know who wants to be on that board and probably not. It does sound like from the questionnaire we sent out to council that Ms. Devlin has expressed interest in serving on that board primarily. I'm not sure about the rest of the council members. So with that, I'll leave the motion up to you guys.
I'll make a motion to appoint Ms. Devlin to that board.
Okay, is there a second? Mr. Michelson.
A second.
Okay, it's been moved and moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Mr. Michelson to appoint council member Devlin to the Town of Stevens' Park Board. Council discussion. Public comment. All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. Next item is item E, discussion decision to appoint a council member to serve on the Tax Increment Finance and Targeted Economic Development Board in accordance with Municipal Code Section 2330. Council communication also outlines how this board's appointed and this council member's appointment. Ms. Holcomb currently serves on that board. Mr. Michelson.
I make a motion to nominate council member Holcomb to serve on the TIF and TED board in accordance with Stevensville Municipal Code 2-330.
Okay, is there a second?
Second.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Michelson, seconded by Mr. Vick, to appoint council member Holcomb to serve on the TIF TED board in accordance with Stevensville Municipal Code. Council discussion. Public comment. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Motion passes. All right, item F is discussion decision to appoint a council member to serve on the airport board in accordance with Stevensville Municipal Code Section 3-33. Same drill, folks.
I'll make a motion to nominate myself to the Stevensville Airport Board.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb, my apologies, to appoint Councilmember Vick to serve on the Town of Stevensville's Airport Board. Council discussion. Public comment. All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
All right. Next item is item G under new business, discussion decision, first reading of ordinance number 165, updating the building and technical codes for the Town of Stevensville. This is more or less a process we take on anytime the state of Montana adopts a new building or technical code for the state, whereas we don't necessarily advance the state in what building code is adopted based on various years where those codes are written. The last time a code was more or less adopted in Stevensville, it kind of depends, but some of them are 2012, some are 2014, largely 2012 though. They skipped the 2016 version. The state of Montana never did adopt that version, and now they've adopted 2018, requiring the building department, in order to maintain compliance, to also adopt those codes as well. So that ordinance is before you tonight. Upon first reading, we'll publish the required notices in the paper and on the boards, and then bring it forward with second reading, should it pass tonight.
I'll make a motion to approve first reading of the building and technical codes.
Is there a second?
I'll second it.
It's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb, to approve the first reading of ordinance number 165, updating building and technical codes. Council discussion? Public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
All right. Get that noticed and scheduled. Next item is discussion decisions, scheduled town hall closures on the fifth Friday of the month for staff and council training. As the council communication indicates, administration is requesting that those months where fifth Fridays occur, which is approximately four times a year, that we close town hall, employees still report to work, gives them an opportunity to workshop together without the interruption of daily traffic flow through the office. It also gives the staff an opportunity to interact with council should we decide to do some sort of retreat or workshop to help improve communication. Sure.
Are you saying half and like a half a day for each, or full day for both, or what are you?
Well,
or is it open?
For now, we're just asking for permission to close the office, and then
the whole
will
for the whole day.
The office is closed for the day.
Okay.
Yep, and based on whatever, it may vary from one month to the next, depending on, you know, because some of the Fridays are closer together, some of them are further apart.
Sure.
It may vary. You know, three out of the four Fridays a year, we may work with council half a day, or in, you know, whatever that looks like.
But your anticipation is to be closed the whole day.
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah,
okay.
As if it were a holiday.
Sure.
And it may mean that, you know, if council chooses to workshop maybe in an evening, then we utilize the staff's time that day later in the day without having to incur overtime costs for them being in an evening meeting. It may mean that We do staff workshops or training. We may bring in an outside trainer for half a day, and then the rest of the day may be an administrative day for them to catch up on some administrative tasks while the phones aren't ringing, those types of things. So it's completely, if council wants to give direction as to what a certain, we could call it a development day or administrative day, whatever that looks like, if you want to give direction as to what we work on in those days, that's certainly helpful. Our personnel policy, in fact, references several sections where we should be doing regular training on sections of that policy that we're not necessarily able to do because we have to keep that office open, and otherwise I have to, you know, find somebody to cover front office staff so that everyone in the front office can attend trainings. So
And if I remember correctly, and this falls really more on like their positions over there, such as Mr. Underwood and Ms. Hoffman's, they have to have a certain number of hours a year for certifications and whatnot, correct?
Correct. Yeah, they do. And in fact, their job descriptions require them to maintain continuing education for the town. So some of that's covered by the conferences that we attend throughout the year. But at those conferences, we have limited time to interact as a staff individually, you know, and work on Stevensville's problems versus, you know, learning.
I'll make a motion to approve it.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick and seconded by Ms. Devlin to approve scheduled town hall closures on the fifth Friday of the month for staff council training. Any further council discussion? Ms. Holcomb.
So do we have it in the budget that we have to hire, if we bring someone in for training, do we have it in the budget for that person to come in?
We do. Depending on the department, we have built in extra funds for staff development. That was something through our employee evaluation process we received plenty of feedback on. In fact, almost every employee expressed desire to learn in their position and to find, you know, outside resources to learn from. And so we built that into our training budgets. In fact, anticipating council turnover, we beefed up council's budget as well. So, Mr. Vick.
Well, I was thinking of my question.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to jump the gun. I heard you breathe. Further council?
Well, actually, it kind of had to do, because there's some of us council members that may not be able to make it due to time constraints during the normal operating hours. Is there going to be some times where the hours may end up getting shifted to where some of these, so council members can make it to some of these?
Absolutely. I mean, if council absolutely wanted, you know, an annual retreat with staff, there's no reason we couldn't close the office, give everybody a Friday off, and tell them to come in on a Sunday or Saturday. They wouldn't be thrilled, but once a year, we could make it happen. I think in the interest of communicating with the council, they'd be amenable to that. Certainly the executive staff would be. So I guess at least four times a year, we have some flexibility with staff schedules to accommodate the different facets of communication within the organization without incurring so much extra cost.
So pretty much we're just talking about quarterly.
Essentially, yeah. There's a couple of them closer and together in the summertime. But by and large, they're quarterly. There are four this year. Any further council discussion? Public comment? Ms. Barker.
Stacey Barker, 104 Winslet. What government do we run that does this? I have not seen a government that shuts down to have the fifth Friday of whatever month off. We have government holidays, yes, that we take off, but you don't close town hall down so that you guys can do staffing and getting your stuff together. We're government.
Okay. Any further public comment? Okay. Further council discussion?
I've got to agree with Ms. Barker and things that I've heard from people outside of the meeting and whatnot. I mean, it's kind of difficult to shut down a government office. However, I would be okay with a quarterly training or, you know, stay later on a Friday night or come in on a Saturday, and then we can do a quarterly training. I would be better off of that because I mean, went back last time I worked for the government, we didn't shut down on a normal operating day.
Ms. Devlin.
Do we have enough in the budget to accommodate overtime pay then? That's going to be... I mean, so what is the logical most accommodating for everybody? If you have them come in on a Saturday, that's a full day of overtime. You have them work late, they're still getting overtime. The goal would be to have everybody working together.
Right.
So council working together or staff working together. Without shutting down, you don't have everybody working together.
Right.
And that is a that is a disadvantage to being the small organization we are, is that we rely so heavily on the office staff to provide their input into policy matters and that sort of thing. We really need to have everyone's input, and that's hard to do when we do have to do our best to ensure that phones are staffed and that the counter is staffed for payments. We purposely timed these Fridays at the end of the months because usually that's usually an extra day, so to speak. And it's at the end of the month where our water bill turnarounds are much lower. We don't typically see those payments come in on the last day of the month like we do the first 15 days of the month when they're due. So towards the end of the month, the office visitation, so to speak, is much, much slower. We expect there's likely some interruption to services being available for phone calls and that sort of thing at town hall. That isn't an interruption and an inconvenience. But we're a small organization. We're trying to open channels of communication with the council. And so this was one area where we thought maybe this is possible. We do build overtime into the budget. We typically try to reserve overtime, though, for emergencies, sometimes it's council meetings that creep up on us in the administration, extra meetings and that sort of thing. Sometimes in the public works department, it's long hours for a water leak or some other emergency in that department. And it's not necessarily wouldn't necessarily be an easy day. In fact, we have had the opportunity to hold some staff retreating with office staff, and sometimes those days are harder days than working the counter all day with water payments, because there's a lot of thinking and a lot of discussion that goes on. It's good for healthy for the organization. So it's certainly by no means a day off, would we grant anyone a day off? It's more or less a day to come in and do extra work for the town that we don't typically get a chance to do. Mr. Michelson.
I did a little calling and I did some research, and this model works pretty well for a lot of the bigger towns like Kalispell, Bozeman. Of course, they have bigger budgets and they have a lot more council members, but I've yet to see any smaller towns do this. It's a good idea, but you're going to be paying your employees straight time anyway while they're doing this, correct? On the fifth Friday? You would be paying them.
Correct. Okay. Yes, rather than overtime.
Right. And then number two, you'd have to establish a quorum on those fifth Fridays.
Correct. If council's going to workshop on those days, then yes.
Well, I mean, that's what you're looking at here.
Right. Yeah, and it may not be council's desire to workshop every fifth Friday. They may say, well, we're only going to use one of those four Fridays and the other three are for staff development. That's completely your decision. We just wanted to have the option to close that office.
So what happened to your one Friday a month team building that you used to do? Did that go awry?
We never did a one Friday a month team building.
Friday afternoon or something, the first year and a half when you were...
We've done Friday afternoon meetings,
yeah.
Staff meetings. We've seen success with those. The challenge, again, has been... in fact, sometimes we've heard even council members get on our case about not being able to answer the phone during that one-hour meeting. And so we have to leave somebody in the office to make sure the phones are answered, because we don't want to cause problems there. And we still have the challenges of the foot traffic through the door. So departmentally, we work through some things, but as an organization, it's nice just to be able to sit down and work through whatever it needs to be worked through. And, I mean, you can try it for a quarter, and if it seems like we get a lot of feedback from citizens that they demand town hall be open, you can change your mind and pull back on it. Maybe we need to try it so other small communities know whether it works or not. And we may fail at it. I don't know that. I'd like to think we wouldn't.
I just have a problem with town hall being closed other than holidays. That's a pretty hard one for people that don't even know this going on. They don't watch Facebook. They don't watch the live streaming. They don't come to the meetings. If they come in for business, whatever it is, to get a permit or pay their bills, sure, or ask questions. And I think government agencies should be open other than holidays.
Would noticing the closure in a variety of places, whether that be the newspaper or a sandwich board on Main Street, however that looks, would noticing that closure satisfy that concern of yours?
I just think it should be open.
Okay.
Does it have to be all or nothing? Could it be 4 hours instead of 8?
Sure. I'm open to whatever solution the council wants to come up with. I guess the point of the agenda item is to bring a solution of, you know, the staff needs an opportunity to to meet and workshop without impeding interruption, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so in order to facilitate that, this was a solution we got for. The council has other solutions they'd like to propose that we're absolutely open to hearing those and working through that. Mm-hmm. Yes. And some of this is, you know, is incorporated into the mandate that is in the personnel policy, which we have a challenge meeting, mm-hmm. Is that, and in fact, we've had consultants who have reviewed issues in our organization where they've said you need to hold regular training for harassment and bullying. You need to hold regular training for discrimination, and we're not able to facilitate that without someone missing it in the organization, mm-hmm. and it's hard to bring those trainings here multiple times a year, you know, cost wise.
Right, and if my understanding is, regardless, whenever we send somebody off for training, we're still paying them anyway,
right,
to go to that training. So either way, we're still having to spend money on somebody getting training.
If we're bringing people in here to do trainings, the odds are they're not going to be willing to do that on a Saturday or a Sunday.
Right.
Correct.
So we're still backing ourselves into a corner.
Sure.
I have to disagree with that.
It's not impossible.
Dan Clark has come in many times on the weekend. Many times. And in the evening. Mm-hmm. To do training.
And that's where all the training's necessary.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Evenings are much more, they're much more amenable to. They'll, of course, work weekends in if we request them. And as far as staff training is concerned, if there's a training perhaps where we can cooperate with another municipality, say Hamilton, mm-hmm. or even Missoula, it may be, for lack of a better term, a field trip day.
Sure.
Where we're training that day, you know, in another, mm-hmm. in another town close by.
So what's the fear of trying something new? What's the fear of that, of giving it a shot? No, you're right. Governments don't technically shut down. But they do in bigger towns, right? So what's that? What's the fear?
I wish we closed down when we did training, but we don't, where mm-hmm. I work. Mm-hmm. We're open.
But there's a lot of excitement about trying something new. It works or it doesn't, instead of just saying no.
I'm going to rescind my motion so that I can make a change to it.
You can just amend it if you'd like.
Okay, then I'm going to make a motion to amend my motion to where we'll try it once and then see feedback from that.
Okay. Is there a second?
I second that.
Okay. The motion on the floor is to amend the motion, whereas the closure of Town Hall on the fifth Friday will occur one time, and then we'll evaluate the feedback from that instance. Council discussion on the amendment. Mr. Michelson.
So if I got this straight, we're going to try it one time on the fifth Friday. We're going to close Town Hall, and so it's going to be up to you, Mr. Mayor, to have an agenda forward, like what you said, either a code of conduct or a bullying or whatever training. And you're going to set that up with somebody from Bozeman, whoever, Dan or whoever, to come down to do this?
Yes, the next fifth Friday happens to be the 31st of this month. So it's a relatively quick turnaround. If this is something the council proceeds with and approves, we'll immediately start gathering feedback from the council and the staff as to what type of training is most needed right now. And figure out how to make that happen with the resources we have available. We may or may not be able to get the local government center here on that short of a turnaround, but we'll absolutely try, and we'll talk to NMIA staff as well and see if there's a something that they're willing to provide. And there may be some in-house discussions as well. So I'm happy to reach out to you individually and find out what things you'd like to see on an agenda, and what time frame you're amenable to on that day. That's fair enough. Does that answer your question, Mr. Michelson?
Yes.
Okay. Any further council discussion on the amendment? Public comment on the amendment? Okay, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. And the amendment is to do this once. Councilmember Devlin?
Yes.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember, Michelson?
No.
Okay, the mayor votes yes on the amendment. With that, the motion on the floor is to has been amended to state that the closure of Town Hall on the fifth Friday of the month is authorized to try one time. And then from there, we'll evaluate feedback. Fortunately, we have some time to turn that around for you sooner rather than later, instead of waiting halfway through the year. Mr. Vick?
Never mind.
Okay. Is there any further council discussion on the motion on the floor or public comment? Ms. McKinley. You have some time to think about it if you'd like.
My name is Jeannie McKinley. I live at 401 Chavo Street. My question about this is where do you guys get the idea that you can just close down a government building, just that's okay? Does Stevensville Council get to make that kind of decision?
They do, yes.
They do. So you can close Stevensville Town Hall for a day, and it's okay. Even though this is a government building, and I always thought that we had to pretty much go by what the guidelines are for government buildings.
The town council gets to set the hours of town hall when it's open and closed, and that's that type of.
I just did not realize that.
Yeah.
I also want to know if the entire, or even three out of the four council members get together, then does this make this a public
Absolutely.
Kind of meeting so that I can just come right in and just join?
Yes.
All right.
Yep.
Well, I'm just all for that.
We would encourage it, in fact.
Oh, very good. Thanks.
Thank you. Further public comment? All right, hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Michelson?
No.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
No.
Councilmember Devlin?
Yes.
Okay. The mayor votes in favor of the motion. We'll give it a shot, see how it goes, reevaluate first meeting in February. All right, next item of business is discussion decision on Resolution 387C, amending the town council rules.
I want to make a motion that any amendments to the town council rules go before committee as a whole.
I'll second it.
Okay, it's been moved by Mr. Vick, seconded by Ms. Holcomb, that the amendments to the town council rules go before the council in a committee of the whole meeting. Council discussion. Mr. Michelson.
Yeah, I think it's a great idea. There's some changes here that this is not a budget meeting, of course, and to do this right, I think we should go to an open discussion. I fired a couple questions off to our attorney, Scott, who is trying to get back to me. And one of them won't reflect on this, but another one with the conflict of interest one will. I'd like to see changes put in the council rules as far as that. And some of these other rules here, in order to do it right, I think we should just sit down as a council as a whole and hammer it through them and do it the right way.
Okay.
Thank you.
Further council discussion. We'll likely throw this on the same agenda as the personnel policy revisions that are being proposed. That will give that agenda at least some material. Further council discussion on deferring these to council committee of the whole meeting. Public comment? All right. Hearing none, call for the vote. Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
All right, motion passes. We'll get that agenda out as soon as we have a date. Yes, Mr. Michelson?
Would we want to set a date? Would the council want to set a date for the committee of the whole meeting now?
Are you, is council prepared to set a date for a committee of the whole meeting?
Do the fifth Friday of this month.
We can certainly use some time. I don't know your availability on the fifth Friday
You're
of the
stuttering.
Month. Yeah, I don't know if you're all available all day on the fifth Friday of the month. I think if you want to meet on a Thursday, the soonest available time would be the 30th of the month. Unless there's another day of the week you want to meet. I think Mondays and Thursdays are your good days.
Yeah.
Okay.
I have a board meeting that day upstairs, so that would work for me.
For the 30th?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, does it have to be, like, what time's your board meeting?
7.
Can we do it earlier?
I think the earliest we can meet is 6?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Are you planning on spending the whole night here?
No.
We need to be done by 7?
Sometimes having a deadline to wrap something
ever.
Up is helpful. So, if the council wants to meet at 6 o'clock on the 30th, that's an option. Or if there's a... Unfortunately, our calendar is kind of filling up on January for some of us. So.
Yeah, I'll be okay with 6 o'clock.
O'clock on the 30th. Is there any objection from the rest of the council? Mm-hmm. All right, through consensus, we'll plop that on the calendar. End of the month is looking busy for us. Great. All right, with that, we'll move to item J, discussion decision, authorizing the purchase of a new backhoe in the amount of $82,585, with trade-in of the old backhoe at $24,000, authorizing the balance to be paid at, $58,585. Mr. Underwood, do you want to walk us through the backhoe purchase?
I'll probably let George talk about the condition of the backhoe. He's already talked to you already. But bottom line is we'll need a budget amendment to do this. And it will come out of the three funds, streets, water, and sewer. That's what we're used for. And we have to put a budget amendment to you. If you guys go ahead and approve, go ahead and give this backhoe. Any questions? Like George said, we went out and got three bids from RDO, Western, Base, what's it called?
Titan Machinery
came in the lowest by far, and they're actually giving us a really good deal on our trade. Going and they know the issues. That's what we did the maintenance on. The back lab, and that was costing us so far about $3,000 so far in maintenance the last couple of months. And that's when they noticed that the transmission and some of the electronics are going out.
Okay. So to recap, the expenses will come out of, or the funding for this project would come out of the streets budget, Fund 1000, general fund. It would come out of the water budget and the sewer budget and require... a formal budget amendment. If you approve the purchase tonight, we'll bring forward that budget amendment. George, do you have anything else to speak on to the condition of the backhoe, the current backhoe? The council's been made well aware of how that is.
Yeah, I can hear it changing gears at my house with the door closed and stereo up.
Okay. What'd council like to see? Ms. Holcomb.
Unfortunately, it's a big expense, but we need it. So I'm going to move to authorize the purchase of a backhoe in the amount of $82,585 with the trade-in of the old backhoe for $24,000 and remaining balance of $58,585.
Is there a second?
I'll second.
OK. Okay, it's been moved by Ms. Holcomb, seconded by Mr. Vick, to authorize purchase of a backhoe in the amount of $82,585, with trade-in of old backhoe at $24,000, and remaining balance of $58,585. You spend this much money, you get to pick the color.
Ooh. Can I pull on? Oh,
yeah. Well, I think Case comes in one color.
Yes, that's we thought we'd just make it a little easier for Ms. Holcomb.
You can have yellow or faded yellow.
Further council discussion on the backhoe purchase. Is there any public comment? All right. Hearing none, I'll call for the vote. Councilmember Vick?
Aye.
Councilmember Michelson?
Aye.
Councilmember Devlin?
Aye.
Councilmember Holcomb?
Aye.
All right. Motion passes. Let her rip, George.
Yes.
All right. I have an executive report for you tonight. Pass that down, Mr. Michelson. I'm providing you with a written report, which I'll do my best to provide at, if not at least one council meeting a month, both. That way you have something tangible written to take home with you. I've noticed in 2 years that I've been in this position that sometimes I provide you with a verbal executive report and then you don't necessarily retain it at no fault of yours. It's just at the following meeting we forget what I reported on. So we'll go through this report. I won't read it to you because I feel you're all competent of doing that yourself. But we'd like to obviously welcome the folks that have either been reelected or elected to the council and wish you all a happy new year. We've got a lot of work ahead of us, and the administration and I are excited to undertake that. As far as street and alley vacates go, this will be of interest to some in the audience. With council's adoption of Resolution 455, in December, we were authorized to vacate the alley of Block 17 in the original town site. With that, the city attorney has drafted the deeds that transfer ownership of the alleyway and implement an easement on those properties. So those will be filed with the clerk and recorder's office in Hamilton as soon as Monday. In other news, as we have this vacate of streets and alleys now under our belt, the school district has expressed desire a couple of times to council now to relocate the Phillips Street right-of-way in anticipation of their construction project. You'll see an image there. And for those of you in the audience, I'll make sure that the executive report is uploaded onto the mayor's page on our website so that you can review it yourself if you'd like. But anyway, that Phillips Street relocate will come before council sooner rather than later, as soon as we get all the final paperwork in line with the district. We're working with Northwest Energy to reconcile streetlights throughout the town. And in fact, that reconciliation has been complete. I think I've updated you on that already. Now we're just kind of waiting on Northwest Energy to get back in touch with us as to what the timeline looks like to complete that LED conversion. You can expect that we'll probably hold a committee of the whole meeting with council prior to that conversion happening, so that you can fully grasp what the LED conversion is going to look like to the ratepayers, to the town's general fund, all of those things, those facets together. So you're fully informed before we flip the switch, so to speak. Water and sewer rates have been somewhat of a hot button issue in Stevensville over the last few months. We're preparing a series of workshops, including town hall meetings, educational sessions with rural development and rural water to kind of help bring everybody up to speed on where Stevensville's water rates stand and where the community would think where they need to be. And so you can expect a schedule to roll out for that. We hope to get that done in the first quarter of 2020 so we can enter the second quarter with budget preparation and our eyes wide open as to where our water and sewer rates need to be going forward. As we discussed briefly earlier, and each of you have been appointed to a board and commission, the town clerk will begin reconciling rosters for each of the town's boards. With transition in town clerks over the years, we find that sometimes our records are incomplete or slightly inaccurate, so we're going to do a reconciliation, find out exactly when the current board members were appointed, when they're due for renewal. We'll undertake that process and get those folks up to speed. And then our priority will be in the first quarter, in fact, between this month and next, getting those boards together, scheduling those meetings, and getting them with their officers elected, and also trying to build a packet, a brief packet, so that boards understand their roles and responsibilities in the organization and amongst each other, and get them kind of orientated and reactivated. So we're putting some energy into getting the boards back and fired up now that you know, the new year's begun. So look for that to happen, and we appreciate the council's help with facilitating that, as you are the representatives on those boards. And just to clarify, as this happens every year when we get new council members on boards, you are voting members of those boards. You are a council liaison, but you are allowed to vote on those boards. Sometimes that's been a bit confusing, but you are a member of the board full on. So, and thank you to all of you for stepping up to sit on each of the advisory boards and volunteer your time. I realize that between the two meetings a month that we already have, that adds a third. And then when we have a cow, now you've got a meeting almost every night of the week, so, or every week. So, with that, one other issue, and I have a couple of thoughts. Most of you have noticed the utility billing issue that we had this week. Hopefully, we continue to explain it to folks, but just to review it one more time, the bills were processed on January 2nd. And when those, we have two systems, one that reads the meters and one that bills for what the meters read. And they talk to each other, usually quite well, at least once a month. This month they didn't talk so well. It sent the data over, but for whatever reason, that those readings didn't appear on your bills. And so you found a zero reading. We didn't catch that until several people, we knew a few people had zero readings anyway, but several people came forward and said, I don't understand why my bill has a zero reading. We looked at it and realized everyone had a zero reading and for whatever reason didn't catch that at bill printing. So we remailed bills to the folks. We imported the correct data, remailed bills to the folks that needed new bills, and we'll waive any late charges on those bills because of the issue. We understand we're not going to charge a late fee of 10% on 9 cents worth of water usage, and that was the situation with one customer today. We'll roll that if it's a dollar amount like that and the customer feels like they just want to roll it onto their next bill, we have no problem rolling it onto the next bill and starting February fresh. So February we expect to have the correct readings on the bill, and in fact we've run a few trials and we're all systems go again. So we appreciate folks' patience and understanding as we work through that. Certainly not the way that the Utility Billing Division wanted to start their new year, but I certainly applaud Laura being new in that position. That was the first time she encountered that type of issue, and she worked through it with the rest of the staff with grace. So thank you again for your patience. So with your handout, you get to take home tonight and study. Tonight's a fresh start, a new beginning for Stevensville's local government, as the council president indicated. And it's my hope that the relationship between the mayor and town council will continue to build and strengthen. There will inevitably be times between us where we disagree and on policies and proposed legislation, but that disagreement must be met with civil discourse, listening together, and ultimately doing what's best for citizens. Being the form of government that we are, either one of us has just enough power to stop the other. Without collaboration, though, we can't get anything done for the community. One focus we'll have is to strengthen relationships between us as council and mayor. We ought to do this for the sake of efficiency and well-being of the organization. We'll work to open as many lines of communication as possible so we can have a positive step forward in the new year. As I mentioned in the welcome letter I sent to the new council members, because we're always looking to improve our performance, we welcome suggestions for new and better ways to manage our programs and services and workers. And I mean, as you know, I maintain an open door policy for all council members and public. If you need to talk with me directly about your ideas or improving the way we do business, then you shouldn't hesitate to contact town clerk for an appointment. In fact, today we were able to launch a new system where if you go to the mayor's page on our website, there's a little link, and it'll let you schedule a meeting with me on the days that I am available in the office. It syncs with my calendar, so if I already have something on my calendar, it won't let you pick that time. But Mr. Michelson, I'd encourage you maybe to employ that, and if there's something on your mind you'd like to sit down with me about, let's get it on the calendar so that I can prepare and expect it. And of course, that's open to citizens as well to use. So with that, I'll open the floor for council comments from council.
I do want to make a comment on the unfortunate incident that happened with our neighbor over on River Road with their house being vandalized simply because of who they choose to vote for. One thing I love about this community that I've learned is it doesn't matter if you vote blue, red, purple, green, rainbow, whatever. We all come together to help each other out. I view this act, that whoever performed this shameful act, attempting to scare somebody into voting for somebody else because they don't like who they voted for, I view that as an act of domestic terrorism. I hope they get caught. And I do believe that they will be tried to the fullest extent of the law for more than vandalism. That is extremely inappropriate for anybody of any age to do that to anybody. And I would like to reach out to our neighbor if they would like help trying to, if anything of this happens again, if they would like some help setting up a system to where they can catch whoever's doing these things. I'm open to discuss with them on finding a way to try to bring these people to justice.
Mr. Michelson.
Yeah, I've had a couple phone calls, and it's kind of gotten a little bigger. The last policy last month that council approved about the water rates increase, you know, for unpaid, looking at the policy, it says 2 weeks. And a lot of these people in town are on fixed incomes, and like credit card or anything else, it's on a 30-day cycle. And I would like to talk to Laurel about it, Laura, and see that maybe we could push that 2 weeks to 30 days, because if you go 2 weeks and another 2 weeks, and then, you know, that's 20%.
Okay, so you're asking to discuss moving our billing cycle from 15 days to 30.
Correct, and okay. I think to do it legally, either you can put that forward on an agenda item, Brandon, or I can, whatever works. But I think that 30 days would be a lot fairer for a lot of people that get one check a month on Social Security. Then they're pretty hand-strict if they're in between that pay period, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Sure. Before, we didn't have one at all, so why not do 30-day cycle?
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet. Any further council comments? Ms. Holcomb?
Happy New Year and welcome to the new council.
Great. Anything?
No,
bon voyage, any?
Okay. I'm good.
All right. I don't expect there's any board reports. Being the new year, you've all just been appointed to your boards, unless you met between the 12th and now. No? I didn't think so. All right. With that, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Is there a second?
Second.
Those in favor?
Aye.
Thanks, everyone.